Oh, well, for I didn't really stop, but I kind of pulled back hardcore to focus on school and stuff. I'm almost done with my undergrad and moving into my master's. But my business is I've actually narrowed it down quite a bit, and I'm doing copywriting for online businesses that sell services online. So, but I'm starting off with copywriting and then doing some consulting as far as like the sales aspect of stuff. And then grow from there and maybe take on more of the work and the burden for them at a price that is definitely competitive compared to a VA. And eventually I want to corner myself to take on enough people, just a few small groups, but really focus in and help these, I'm sorry, I'm sitting here talking with my hands, you guys can't see me. And basically, kind of take over the sales aspect of businesses for other people, like be the grunt behind those things and have like a VA or an employee who's like that person's go-to.
Can you give an example of like the type of service business that you would be targeting to be a little bit more specific?
Okay, that I don't know. Originally, I was thinking like information products or like the self-help things, but that would be a really hard one to get into. So. I have to repivot on that. I've kind of been thinking about finance, the finance sector. Because that's what I'm going for my master's in, is in finance investments. So, looking at that. But right now, I'm taking a friend of mine from up in Alaska. I'm taking his business, AlumiSki, and they basically took a jet ski but made it an all-aluminum body, so you can take it in places that you can't take a fiberglass jet ski. So you can go in the shallows and chase salmon or whatever else up in Alaska. I'm looking at their business, and it's not a service, but it's a tangible good, and I'm working on helping them increase their website traffic and sales and marketing aspects of that.
But that's pretty far from a service business. Maybe it would be something to focus
Oh
in.
yeah. I'm just
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just doing that because I'm trying to refigure out. I need to find a business to work on. I need to refigure out how I'm going to analyze the client's business and like dissect it, and I'm just building up new systems and stuff. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do that compared to what I had before and improve upon. So that was just one that I needed. I needed something, and I just grabbed his
Okay.
because of the guy who's helping me. He's kind of mentoring me through. He just said, go find a business that is a tangible good, not a service right now. And so I was like, all right, this guy. So,
All right. Well,
because
James,
I
how
guess it's
about,
easier to do more profit.
hey, Joe, I'm sorry. We're going to dive deeper into the businesses here in a couple minutes. What I'm going to do is now that we've hit the hour, I'm going to shoot across. Joe, where'd you go? Scared him off. Now, Dave and James, we'll have you guys give a quick, just 1 minute update. Michelle, Mike, see you guys out there. And I'd love to hear a quick update from you guys. HJB, you're welcome to join in and put up your webcam. Tonight it's just me, and I couldn't get everyone else has something. I don't know. Tom, John's on the road. Tom's got something going on. So tonight I want to just use this as a great way to have a quick mastermind where we spend a minute giving a quick update on what we're on, and then we, and you guys can contact me. So Dave, if you want to send a note or anyone else want to see a note that they're looking for, specific help or they want to get in the hotspot, we'll do it. We're going to spend probably 10 to 15 minutes on each of these businesses. And I want to open it up so that you guys can ask the question. So if HJB, you decide that you want to jump in on the hotspot, or James, that Joe the machine will be able to jump in there and ask you some hard questions, or Mike will be able to jump in there and ask you some hard questions. All right. So James, go ahead and give me a quick update. What, maybe a minute or two. What have you been up to and what do you got going forward?
Cool, yeah. Quick update, maybe there's two points to focus on. A little bit of a rough week. I actually had gotten involved with a really cool web project for a pretty prominent community out here in San Diego. John actually knows some of the guys. So I was really fired up for the project. It was for a startup that has investors and everything. It's a cognitive enhancement supplement. So anyways, I was really fired up. Project was going well, but my I'm more my emphasis is more on the design side. I'm sorry, the development side when it comes to WordPress. And I didn't quite have the design skills to see the project through. So I kind of view this experience as like my first at bat, maybe in the major leagues. I got a really good rep at a great client that's a little bit beyond what I'm used to. You know, so I stepped up to the plate, took my at bat, but it didn't finish strong. Again, they were looking for a little bit more design, just elements that I don't have. I'm not the Photoshop guy that goes in there and really knows how to create. So a little bit of a bummer there, but again, a great experience. Got to meet a bunch of great people and kind of expand my network there. And then in addition to that, I made a sprint on my own website. Again, I started my own company, left my partners. So if we hop into hot seats later, I can share the link of that development site and maybe have you guys shred it and give me some feedback there.
It sounds good. Go ahead and send me the link, and I'll make sure that that we pull this up here quick. Dave.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead and give me a quick update. What do you got going on?
So I am, middle of January, I jumped into my own project, doing my own consulting. I've got the website up and going and everything. I've got two strong clients, and I've got two kind of up on the block right now that I should be converting over in the next week or so. I've got a few meetings and stuff this week, trying to bring on just a few more clients to see kind of what workload I can carry. I've had a few people come in through the website. I haven't really locked anything in on that. I'm trying to work on a couple different sequences on ConvertKit and really try and get that ramped up and going as well.
All right. What about I see let me see who's out there. I see Mike Moreno. Mike, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Good. How's the chaplain out of Nebraska doing?
Well, actually, the chaplain out of Nebraska is in Newport, Rhode Island. I'm taking a course at the War College for 5 weeks. But it's going well. I'm one of those hangers-on that have talked a lot about doing stuff but never really pushed the button. But some good news is my job, that civilian job, I'm going to be leaving 30 June. I've gone part-time, and now I'm really trying just to ramp up to see what I want to do. I've talked about a podcast and throw this out there as well. As a chaplain working with mental health professionals, that kind of stuff, to take care and give some materials and some insight to those who are dealing with post-combat issues. But that's a pretty big, wide spectrum, and so I'm still trying to figure out where I want to target that at. Do I want to work with, you know, all veterans who are dealing with some things, or do I want to work with those who are just dealing with PTSD and TBI, that kind of stuff, or do I want to work even more niche to the caregivers, awfully a lot of times the wives? They're the ones who are looking for help. If you've got PTSD and you're really struggling, you're in the basement with Xbox. You're not looking for help. You're just kind of sitting around. So the question is, where do I want to position that podcast? What I'd like to do is get a landing page and go to a couple of Facebook groups that deal with that and say, hey, listen, you know, what's your major issue right now? What are you struggling with, and what would be helpful? So I could get some input there. So that's the podcast issue. A second thing in terms of having a backup plan, being a chaplain at church, little old lady comes up and says, hey, my computer, I need to get a new computer. My wife kicks me in the shins and says, hey, go fix it for her. So I do. But in a little town that we've got about 25,000, there's a lot of elderly folks there who, when they buy a computer, they have no idea how to set it up. So I'm thinking about, you know, just kind of doing that a little bit on the side, but then also toddling into maybe some coursework to say, hey, listen, I'll give you 30 days access to some videos that are made with elderly people in mind. They're not going to be doing a lot of crazy stuff, but how do I turn it on? How do I email somebody? How do I write a family letter? That kind of stuff. And if that flies, maybe to see if I can make that recurring revenue, you know, so much per month. So that's where I'm at right now.
Sounds good, Mike. I didn't actually see that computer thing coming. Where did that come from? That's kind of out of left field.
As my wife kicked me in the shin and said, go do this. And so, you know, I've talked about business and how to do that. And she goes, hey, you know, you could do that and kind of get some experience just, again, getting some information, making a name in our small town community, so I could start maybe hopefully making some connections. But it's just a way to help people out, really. You know, will I make some money? Yeah, probably, but better the experience of working some business issues in terms of cash flow, starting off small, getting some of those things down, and then maybe seeing if I want to go to a full-time course product, you know, where I can do a course online. I think this would be some baby steps and some good information to make that leap.
All right. Let's go ahead and Mike Mills, you out there?
Yeah, hold on one second.
It looks like you're chowing. Where'd Mike?
Yes.
You chowing down on some food there?
Yeah.
That's okay. I got mine right over here. Hey, man, your beard grew longer since I last saw you.
I know, right? Glorious, huh?
Yeah. Must be all that you must have been hanging out with Eric of Beard Brand.
I do use the spice citrus on my beard. It's luxurious.
How have you been, man? How's it been since StyleCon?
I don't know. It's like, it's, you know, I went in there with a totally different mindset than I had last year, so my expectations were completely different than I guess what everybody else was feeling. Because I feel like 50% of the people there are kind of like timid and scared. They don't really know who to talk to. They don't know what to say. And I felt like I was like the top 1% when I went there. I didn't feel, you know, abstract. I felt like I knew exactly what I wanted. So I just went in there and talked to everybody. I went to talk to Terry from Menfluential. I'm gonna see if I can talk to him. I know honestly, probably he's too far ahead for me to use him, but I'm still gonna talk with him anyway. So maybe he'll direct me to someone else.
Yeah.
I'm talking to what's Darian from Men's Style Lab. I gotta talk with him. So maybe he'll be a client. I don't know what comes out of that. I'm not gonna jump in anything forward. But you know, I think I have a few ideas to caveat off of him. You know, honestly, with like image consulting, you know, with a bigger guy, so he could like send boxes of clothes tailored to guys that are bigger. So that just kind of flew in my head. Maybe it's something I'll throw to him later. But I picked up a few clients from there. I picked up one actually just yesterday from StyleCon that I met. So that added to my online presence. And I'm doing a health summit that's going to be launching July 5th. So that's probably the main focus that I'm going to have. So I'm trying to get as many fitness professionals, and I'm going to focus on mindset more than just nutrition and fitness, because my goal is not to be labeled as a fitness and nutrition guy.
Yeah.
Because everybody else does fitness and nutrition. I want to fix the whole person, not just, you know, hey, I can fix your nutrition. That's it. I mean, I don't want to be a one-trick pony. I don't want to label. So that's why I said Mike's image, not like Mike's fitness.
All right. Are you sure you weren't part of the 1st Marine Regiment?
No. Why?
Because you're fucking badass, man. It's like, I mean, it's you're doing great. But as you know, it's 1st Marines. We always led the way. But
2nd Marine, 1st Marine. Yeah, I get it.
All right. Well, good job, Mike. It was good to see you in person. And, you know, guys, we've got another – I've got 300 and some odd days till I have another StyleCon, but you guys are welcome to come out. Mike came out, and it's just a lot – it's not so much about styles. It is about business and people being able to get together and share ideas. I know the owner, so it's pretty easy to get my vets in. But good deal. All right. Well, let's go ahead and – Michelle, how are you doing out there?
Hey there. I just finished working out, so I'm tired.
So no vid cam here?
No. You ain't gonna see me like this.
All right, so what do we got going on? How have the last couple weeks treated you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you good.
Oh, okay. I thought you couldn't hear me. Okay. Cool. They've been going great. Actually, I have a lunch and learn with an executive company. It's executive suite company, so I have that actually scheduled May 11th. And then I have, I just went and talked to actually the library, because I was listening to Lisa Sasevich, and she had been talking about, she started in the library. And so So I went and talked to the library lady actually today, and she thought that both of my subjects were great for library-sponsored classes. And so I said, I'd do that too. And just to get out there and speaking more and people seeing what I'm doing. I'm trying to think, oh, and right now I have a challenge going on, a closet cleanse challenge. So I'm using that to pull in some leads, some people on my email list. So that starts today. And I have a few, and I'll just keep...
For this closet cleanse, are you collecting images, like before and after? I think that would be really powerful. For the closet cleanse, are you getting pictures before and after?
Oh, yeah.
Great. Sorry, I lost you. Michelle, are you still out there? Michelle. Uh-oh. May have lost you. Let me see. What's going on in the comments? Yeah, that's right, Joe, the owner of StyleCon, he is dreamy. And let me see. Mike is saying beards are the way of the future. Yeah, we can beat him. I was chowing too when you spoke. Okay. Good. All right, Michelle, we back?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay.
I had someone tried to call. You know how that is. I'm on my phone, so I had to reject. But yeah, so I think that's a great idea. I didn't think about that, so I'll put that out there tonight because it's my also started a Facebook group for the closet cleanse. So I will definitely put that out there to my audience.
Yeah, ask them, maybe even have a contest. It would be, I mean, to get those images is so powerful because once they put them there, then you can reach out and ask permission. Hey, and this is something I ask for before and after images. We're seeking out a lot right now. We're basically asking people first for the images, and then we ask permission to use them by basically saying, hey, can I use these images to inspire others? I mean, who's going to say no to that? Some people will choose. They don't want, you know, the world to see their closet, but many people are like, oh, please use it. But so I make it a two-step process. But if you wait till afterwards, it's a lot harder. You want to catch them when emotionally they're tied into this and they want to be a part of it. All right. Well, let's HJB, man. You out there?
Are you there? Yeah. Said I definitely will do. I definitely will do that tonight since this is the first night.
Sounds
so
great.
That would be great.
Sounds good, Michelle. Let's do it. All right, HJB, you out there? Yeah, you're welcome.
Yes, I'm here. Hey, Antonio.
Hey, good to see you, man. So give me a quick update. What have you been up to the last couple weeks?
Well, the last couple weeks have been what I call life happens events. So I've been having my deal with a lot of things, not the business-wise. So I'm kind of in a circling pattern right now, just sitting here, taking in, being available.
How is the Unstuck Coach or the Unstuck? So what did you decide to go with, the Unstuck Coach, Unstuck Chaplain?
I really haven't decided.
Okay. Well, you can zero in on that. You can simply put it out there and ask people what sounds better. What do they resonate more with? But, I mean, we know that the word unstuck is going to be part of your vocabulary, right?
Well, it's there. I already have the URL for it. I have a couple of them. I'm just not really, really solidly decided yet.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Good. So how do you feel, how do you normally make decisions? Like what's your normal process for doing that?
I pray about it. I basically see what fits me and then also recognize what needs are out there. I'm really coming out of myself in a lot of ways right now. So I am making progress, but it's not fast enough and it's not quick enough, but I don't want to just jump out there and just do anything either. So,
well, I wish we had, who was it? I'm drawing a blank here. Mark. Yeah. I think we've told you his story. Do you guys remember, what Mark did on Facebook? Mike, did you see what Mark was doing on Facebook or? Were you around for that? Or Adam, I don't know if you saw when Mark was on Facebook. He was just posting videos, and putting out, and he was kind of monitoring what worked, what didn't, as he put out videos every single day on Facebook. And he found that some people resonated with stuff. Other times it fell flat. He also tested writing out information, and then he tested doing the videos. And he probably lost a few friends because some people probably got annoyed, or they at least muted him. But the point is, he was able to quickly figure out like what strikes a chord with people and what doesn't.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, you just got to get out there and just see what happens sometimes.
Yeah, Mike, really quick, can you talk about your experience getting out there? I know one of the things I respected that you did is you went out and you talked to people, and most of them ignored you, right?
Yeah, it's called soliciting. So they didn't really like that very much, especially when I went into Men's Warehouse. I kind of looked like I worked there, and I went up to a woman because they're easier to talk to, especially if you're dressed nice. And I had a manager walk up and try and look at my clipboard and ask me what I was doing. I'm like, just asking a few questions. And he told me to leave, so I did.
But that is pretty good. That's pretty bold. That's what you got to do, right?
Well, I mean, if you're doing face-to-face sales, like, and you're not going door-to-door and you're walking around a mall into local businesses that you shop in frequently, I got some people to stop. And I just went to places where it was really dead, like over in Dillard's or Belk, and you know, I got them to, it's like, hey, can I have a moment of your time? I'm just doing a quick survey for a consulting company. Not doing anything. I might ask you for your email. That's about it. I'm not going to send you anything crazy. It's just 10 quick questions, 5 minutes of your time. And they just, boom, they started answering them one after another. And they just brought their whys out of themselves. When I always consult somebody, I look for a why. And I found that was the easiest way to get a sale with these people was to ask what their why was, because they didn't know themselves.
Well, it sounds like you really honed in on what you needed to do. You're willing to step out there and take whatever it took, ridicule or whatever, and as a result, you've gotten more sharper in your assessments.
Well, I do it every day. Like, I had a reassessment today with the because I work for myself and I work in two gyms. Mm-hmm. In the one gym that I'm at, the guy was telling me, we basically have a sales process where I play the good guy, another guy plays the bad guy, and there's set prices for everything. So when a person walks in, you already know that they want a gym membership, but we tell them why, and you bring them quality. So I already know exactly what I'm going to say before I say anything. Mm-hmm. So I just say, hey, how's it going? You smile, you get them in. The person will talk to you for a little bit, and you find out what their reasoning is. Did they go to a gym? Did they have any preconceived notions or bad experiences somewhere else? What equipment did you miss? Are you trying to lose weight? You know, whatever it is that can draw them in, you hone in on that and basically make it like it's a club. It's a fun time. And no one else does that. So our success rate is like over 75%. I mean, I close almost everybody I talk to just with that, you know, asking them why, because everybody talks more when you ask them what their reasoning is. So I don't – like sometimes I over-talk. But that's when I'm providing value and making them not think as much about the money. Mm-hmm. So the less they think about the money, the more people spend.
Well, the one thing I hear from you is you have good clarity and you have passion for what you're doing, and I think that's important.
You have to, because people sense it. If you act needy, people are going to know.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
Cool, Mike, and we'll probably come back. I'm going to have some more questions for you. Hey, Adam, good to see you. How are you doing? Maybe you want to take a minute and give us a quick update on what you've been up to. Can't hear you, man.
Hearing that. Sweet. So a couple of big things. One, so we're working on a book. Since I'm in kind of the more higher end coaching space, I actually got support from one of the senior professors that I've worked with. He's actually retiring this year. He said he's going to introduce me to a top publisher and as well write blurbs in the back and some other stuff too, pass the manuscript on to some other top professionals to kind of read it out and give it a look. So that's really exciting. That's a little bit more long-term, though, so that's looking 2 years out. In the near term, started a podcast, of which my kind of most senior person I have already booked on there is the senior general for the U.S. Army Reserve, and he's responsible for about 215,000 of our nation's finest. So that's exciting. Brigade commander from the 101st and a number of other people. Kind of doing a more kind of higher-end kind of Freakonomics meets Oprah is kind of what I'm thinking about right now. Being able to give people a real deep understanding of what leadership development means with really tangible vignettes and kind of going real deep into the psychology aspect of it, making the group that I'm targeting, these kind of individuals who are looking to develop leaders in their organization, so kind of learning development executives, as well as just holistic leadership development professionals and coaches. Adam, those are the big steps right now.
Adam, can you clarify, basically, last time I remember looking at your website, did you make any changes to that page or to that sales page that was hosted on that university site, I believe?
Yes. So they took that down. So I don't know what the status is of my partnership with them right now. In fact, I had booked 3 events with them last month to take place next month. And none of that stuff made it to the website. So they are on my bad side right now. So I sent them kind of a friendly but direct email 2 days ago, or I think it was actually last night, just being like, what's going on? What should I expect in our relationship from here on out? That kind of thing. But catch everybody else up. They had asked me to host a course on their website. And they selected the course, which is kind of outside of my wheelhouse, which was focused on college acceptance for Asian students applying to the U.S., which I actually had a success. I got a sweet YouTube video yesterday from a kid who got into IIT. And I like one of these like goofy, like, thank you kind of videos. It was pretty cool. But they're, as far as I know, they want me to come back out there and reshoot the video. So I don't know if they're just being indirect in taking the video or the course off to wait till we get better video quality on there, but they've been kind of inconsistent in their communication to me. So I've kind of just let that go, and we'll see what happens as I focus on the other stuff.
And what about your website, what you can control? Adam, you froze. It's kind of a – did he freeze for everybody else? Yes? No? Yeah. It's kind of a nice pose he's got there. What do you think? Adam, you have to catch up with us, man. My goodness. Jay Bear, you out there? I see you.
Hello?
Hey.
It's been a minute.
Hey, Jay Bear, how are you? Maybe you can give us a quick update. It's been well over a month, I know, since I've heard from you.
Yeah, I've had some family things going on, but I've been talking with Mike Weekly. Actually, we are looking into some collaboration, but normally our weekly calls, we talk about mindset, and currently I'm bootstrapping, and I'm building my own website, so I'm in the middle of that, and it's taking a few
hours. Okay, where did I lose you, or you lose me?
Hey, Adam, we'll pick up on you here in a second. We've got Jay Bear updating us.
Okay, so my lip reading skills, hey, I saw you left off at, and then Antonia on the Ripley, lip reading.
Yep.
For some reason, I can't hear anything.
I'm gonna mute you, Adam. Okay, Jay Bear, we got you back in, so.
Right. I just didn't want to interrupt or anything. But, yeah, no, I'm currently building my own website just because I'm not going to pay somebody $3,000 to do something that I can actually do myself. And I've been researching a little bit more. I was talking to Mike about it this morning. I was actually doing some personality research. And I and part of what I discovered about myself is just the fact that I like learning and I like learning the process of doing things, so me building my own website actually doesn't bother me at all whatsoever. It just takes some time. So hopefully I'll have my website, a rough draft of it done this week, and eventually have it live by April. Currently looking or just niching down on subjects and what I would do for products and what I would coach people on. I've had a few topics here and there. But gaming addiction is still on the back of my head. It's not forgotten, but I haven't specifically niched down to that just because it's very specific, and I've actually been observing some of the people who are in that field right now and seeing how they do things. And it's a lot more research than I originally planned, so that's on the back burner a little bit. But other than that, getting the website together and trying to get a good focus on mindset, on how I operate as a person.
You know, Jay Barra, I really think gaming addiction still has a huge opportunity, and I'll tell you why. The other day, we spent $1,000 to have our house inspected for lead and mold and all of these things because I've got an old house, but when it comes down to it, I don't fool around when it's my kids. And my youngest daughter had slightly, not dangerous, but slightly elevated lead. And obviously with Flint in the news, I'm like, okay, we got an old house. We had been doing some construction. So possibly lead dust is what led to it. But okay. The point is, like when it comes to my kids, I will spend money because it's like they are like my number. And I just know with my son, it's something that, I mean, I feel my wife and I are probably ahead of most because we stop to do the research. We care. I mean, we try to make sure that he's, you know, not going into these type of addiction things. But mm-hmm. It is something I think that there's a real need for people that are scared and who just need a consultant, somebody that can ask them, because I mean, that's all this company did. They came to my house, they asked questions, and they spent an hour looking around and they had the right tools, and they checked, and it all came back clean. I felt good. I'm like, okay, my house is not poisoning my kids. But for you to be able to provide that assurance, or at least, hey, like these are the things you need to watch for, and provide it in one place, I mean, it could be something as simple as you provide a 30-minute Skype consultation and you charge $300 for that. You do, you know, you could do three of those a day because you spend probably an hour or two preparing, but you come up with forms. That's easily $1,000 a day, which isn't, you know, is a good start to a business. And you would be able to tell very quickly if there's a market there, even if it's worth pursuing. Now, that model isn't scalable. You can only do so many of those in a day. And, you know, but I think that there are ways that you can test the monetization potential of that very quickly. And
now that you bring that up, one of the biggest things that I was thinking about when it comes to gaming addiction, it's really hard to assess that from my perspective if I just talk to the parents alone, only because when it comes to being a gamer, there are ways to hide it. If you can intellectually just hide it in your mind a lot. The only reason I know is because I do that. One of the ways now that, you know, when you're talking about your home, you know, being inspected for lead and mold and all that stuff, is one of the ways to essentially figure out gaming addiction is, for me, I would have to take a virtual tour of your child's environment. One of the biggest things that we talk about in gaming addiction, or one of the things that I've researched and, you know, how I essentially came across the topic, was just environment is one of the biggest factors. And it's a little bit hard because addiction is something that isn't very easily pinpointed as a definition. A lot of people define it in a multitude of manners, but when it comes to, you know, me describing levels of addiction, if it's, you know, a basic, you know, introductory addiction, or if it's a serious addiction, compared to somebody else saying, you know, the same thing, the definitions can be different. So that's a little bit hard when it comes to talking or consulting about gaming addiction, which is what I've noticed, even just my conversations with people, and I ask, you know, what do you think addiction is? How would you treat addiction? Things like that. I've had responses across the board, and people will say addiction is, you know, doing something that you can't stop doing, even though you want to, or others are like, you know, it's the chemical responses and things like that. So it's really hard to pinpoint that down, but it is a challenge that I do eventually want to rise up to. Just currently, I'm more so observing the person that I think the Reddit community looks to right now, Cam Adair. But I've read some reviews about his stuff and how the approach is, to be frank, he's a bit of an asshole about it, which I know that I wouldn't have that personality for that, but I'm just observing his work right now and seeing how he does things, and then I'm thinking about how I would approach it. He does packages and things like that, but for me, gaming addiction, you can't lump all gaming addictions together. They have to be specifically different. So if I were to do a package for your son, it would be vastly different from doing a package for myself, just because of all the external factors, family, environment, you know, friends, whatever it may be. So it's hard to niche down on that when it comes to a product. So I guess that's kind of where I stalled on that, but you know, that's why I put it on the back burner, trying to just get a website up. So if I eventually do roll out with a product, I'll have a website to be able to post it on. I can't hear you at all, Antonio.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
So you could put together a one-page manifesto of what you stand for, what this is all about, and simply jump on, I mean, have something that can be found online, and then go be a guest on other people, get in front of their audiences. I think it's a very unique topic. There are tons of mommy bloggers out there, and I can tell you that many of them are going to simply like you because you're a woman talking about games. Oh, and you're a veteran, instant trust. You could use the same – like this, whoever this guy is that you said is an asshole, many people aren't going to like him because they're just not going to resonate him. They're not going to trust him, and they're just not going to, you know, in a sense, connect. So you've got unfair advantages here in an industry. But, yeah, you know, I mean, don't be afraid to try to leverage other people's audiences. It may be something that you even put together a 100-word email, a 50-word email pitching, you know, that you want to be a guest and discuss game addiction, and you have no agenda. You just simply are curious. You know, you would just like to know, did people enjoy this information you wanted to share? And that may be, you know, for a lot of these people who are, some of them anti-business, they just don't want people monetizing their audience or feel like they're going to take advantage. Like, it's like, oh, wow, like great information. And you get to be on my podcast or be on my, you know, or write me out a guest post or something like that. And then you get in front of this captive audience for a topic that, and you could look at the comments section and be able to instantly tell, you know, is it crickets or do you have 100 people jumping in there, you know, like just spouting, this is important or this is a non-issue.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing I did notice about Cam Adair's audience is that he predominantly just targets males, because I looked into his program and everything, and he doesn't say anything about female gamers whatsoever, so he's kind of ousted out half his market, in all honesty.
Cool. And I'm going to – is this him, Cam? Gaming addiction.
He's had 2 TED Talks as well, from what I remember.
Yeah, and I mean, he's – so, I mean, this – I don't know how successful he is or being able to, but it looks like he does speaking. I mean, he is showing, it's great when you see that there is a market or that there is something here. So 106,000 views, pretty cool. You know, but I would also look in the comments, not necessarily, got to be careful in YouTube, but look at what people are saying in the comments. What are they saying that he's missing? What are they saying that he could do better? And there's a lot in this. You can get an idea of what he charges for booking. You can even reach out to the people where he's speaking at and figure out why did they want to bring him on. You know, that would be interesting as well.
Mm-hmm. And his package, his online product that he has, it's like $40 for the elite package, and that's got like video and it's got videos, and then it also has like interviews with people who've gone through his program as well.
But he doesn't provide his personal time, does he? Does he have something like that?
I think he does mainly group stuff. I really don't think he does any one-on-one from what I've noticed.
So a lot of these people, I would think, would want to keep this private. They don't want to be in a group talking about their son's gaming addiction when, in all honesty, their son looks like he's awesome. They don't want anyone to know this. And So it would be something that, you know, possibly there would be a huge opportunity. I mean, people pay $2,000 to get their kid's SAT score up by 50 points. What is it worth to them to make sure that he doesn't develop bad habits, which will cripple him for the rest of his life because he'll be addicted to gaming?
True. And another thing that I noticed is that he doesn't target parents whatsoever. He only targets gamers themselves. And it's people, if you go to Reddit and you go to the subcategory gaming addiction or stop gaming, that is predominantly ran by him. I see him commenting on it. He spends a lot of time individually commenting on that. I mean, talking to people. But what I do know is that I don't see him talking to parents whatsoever. It's just the gamers themselves.
And that could be. He could be just really myopic and only able to see what he can see. And that's, you know, the power of, you know, being able to open up and look around. And it's an early market. If there's not a whole lot of people in here, either there isn't a market or this is just simply people here are early. But it looks like that, you know, people are interested. He's got some good media. Why Synopsis about the speaker?
Yeah, and not only that, in the past couple of years, there have been articles here and there that will be for us gamers, it's the age-old question of whether or not gaming is a problem, whether it hinders a child's growth or whether it helps a child's development. And pretty much it's people weighing the pros and cons of gaming addiction and what gaming does to people as they grow up in that sort of environment. He specifically talks about his story a lot. I don't really see a lot of the research. He talks about experiences and everything, which is a good thing, but I don't see a lot of the physical research that could help him make his point better.
Well, I've kind of mentioned this before. When you see a market like this, an opportunity, make sure you give it a shot and that you move quick and you set some deadlines, because what you don't want to do is miss the growth opportunity. When I founded my first company, A Tailored Suit, I was one of three custom online clothiers that I knew of in the world, and that was 2007. By 2016, there were probably 200 to 300 online custom clothiers that I know of. And, okay, you know, it was something that, because if I would have gone a little bit, I think more, if I would have gone a little bit harder at the beginning, I definitely probably could have done a better job owning and, you know, owning that market. The same thing now with Real Men Real Style. Why I've focused in on content creation at this early phase is I want to dominate in the search engines for things that I know in a few years it will be very difficult to. And just the way the trends are going, you're not going to see less kids playing games. I mean, it's coming, and it's not slowing down. So if there's truly a market here, and if you are truly inspired, you know, he's the first, but you're also going to be the first in many ways, because you would take a different approach, and you have a very good chance to be a thought leader within 12 months. I mean, you could easily, you know, put out some information and become a thought leader here, if that's what you want. But okay, so we spent a lot of J-Bear. I know we hit on this. And if anyone hasn't seen this, definitely go check out what she's got going on with, I think it's such a great niche, again, because it's something that I know personally I would love to see addressed, and I feel it is a big issue.
If I roll out with anything, I'll definitely shoot an email to you, and if it's any sort of like pretty much like a beta package of sorts, I'll shoot that towards you.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to it, my wife will look at that, and she just wants to, she's just, you know, we go to the doctor when my kids, you know, not when they're on their deathbed, but, you know, earlier on when they're relatively, you know, they're sick, but, you know, we always look at, we would rather be ahead of the curve than be reacting to something that's really bad. So there is, yeah, there's a lot of that info. Okay, so
yeah,
couple things I want you guys to take notes on is, notice how we looked at somebody else that's in the industry, and instead of saying, oh man, like someone's already got this, I can't do it. You know, you look at, no, they're just kind of proving the industry and that there is opportunity for more people in it. Mike, really quick. I mean, when you started a fitness business, were there already people doing what you're doing, sort of?
Hundreds.
Maybe hundreds of thousands, right?
Yeah. Maybe not online, because that's still catching on pretty quickly, but face-to-face personal trainers, I mean, there are people spouting off in the mouth. You make $90,000 a year personal training, not knowing that you have to have business skills, you got to know how to market, you got to be personable, you have to have some kind of experience backing it up, and you have to pick up all your own clients, and then people take half your money with the contracts that you do, unless you're running your own facility. Yeah, they don't tell you any of that.
So really quick, Mike, how have you you revealed some of the stats at StyleCon, but can you reveal some of the numbers? Like a year ago, how many clients did you have?
A year ago, I had zero.
Zero. And because of your hard work and basically bullheaded, I'm going to just make this work, you know, take no prisoners approach, how many do you have now?
I've got about 16 locally. I've had a few drop off in the past week, which is – you know, I can't do anything about that locally, but
were they ideal customers that dropped off, or were they more of probably not your ideal?
No, the ideal ones stayed, and that's the reason why I increased my prices, and I tell people straight up, is like, I don't have time for you to waste my time. So I bring out my full personality when I see them, and I close them in 15, 20 minutes. I don't, like, if they want it, they want it. If they don't, they don't. And I don't play around with it anymore, because, like, today, my boss, he was telling me, he's like, I would have gotten this girl for you, but she's a surgeon, but she said that you're scary. And I'm like, well, how in the heck does she know that? She never even talked to me, not one time. And I'm like, that's fine, because I don't want her as a client anyway. If she's afraid of, without even talking to me, she's going to assume that I'm going to be abrasive, that's fine. So the people that want to train and the people that are good come to me, and the people that get it come to me, but the ones that don't, I mean, you know, I don't have to go super fast because I charge a high enough price to where I can still maintain a pace of one or two people a month and be okay. So I probably have like 4 clients online, 16 locally, and then I have 17 locally. And then I'm kind of chilling right now until I get done with my health summit, focusing on an email list.
Did you get that website together yet?
I'm going to get it revamped. My website is up, but I'm getting it revamped here in the next week or two, because I got put on another health summit out of the blue, and I've got to be ready for that. And I'm doing my own coming up July 5th. So hopefully this VA that I hire, I'm going to buy a bunch of hours, and she's going to do all the fixes and changes I need to where it doesn't look like I'm talking about style anymore, because I'm not taking that turn with it. I want everyone to see me as a coach. And then I fix their problems, not as like, hey, I do this and style. It's not an aspect that I'm going to jump into. You know about style. I know barely anything. So I'm not going to act like I'm a thought leader on that.
Cool. Well, Mike, it's good to see you kicking butt. And it looks like Adam's going to be sending J-Bear some money. So good to go. He's loving the confidence that J-Bear has in her focus. Cool. Well, hey, really quick, let's go ahead, James. You wanted to talk a little bit about Mission Boost Academy and your new website. Give me an overview of what you got here.
Cool. Thanks, Antonio.
Yeah, so just to kind of recap, when I got clarity on after I left my first company and starting this one, really going after the position myself as a coach and consultant for nonprofit clients and their staff. That's just the people I've been serving with my skills about the last 4.5 years. So talk about the site a little bit. I really modeled a lot of Pat Flynn's and John's site when it comes to my information architecture. So my navigation, just wanted to keep it simple, but pretty intuitive. The Academy Pass, that page is not built, but that'll be probably the most important page on the site. That is essentially going to be the information product for my training. Sorry, it looks like some of the font on that homepage slider was missing on your browser there, which bothers me. But anyway, so this site's about 60% complete here. And my end goal is really to train nonprofits on how to spend a free $10,000 a month with Google. So everything I'm doing is just, again, to kind of position myself as like a marketing expert in the nonprofit industry, because there's only two people that are really doing it well. And they're not necessarily lasered in on this opportunity with a free $10,000 Google grant, advertising grant. So this is, the site is really geared to scale that up there. And on the tail end, I really want to be able to sell some premium services. So the coaching consulting page, it's very rough right now. It's more just my concepts that I threw out there just to kind of get some ideas out. But again, the idea, and you can kind of see, Antonio, just again, it's very rough. But if you see the book there, my goal with trying to produce that is to give myself some credibility and build some trust before someone engages with me. And the goal, with the book, is to position myself as an expert there. So about the, and then the Academy Pass, if you see that underneath, if you scroll down a little bit, that essentially is going to be my training system, or what I'm calling my training system, where I want to be able to show you step by step how to apply for the grant. It's really easy. How to begin marketing on Google with it, and just the fundamentals. People in the nonprofit space are very passionate about who they serve and what they do, but there's no one out there that's really giving them the one-on-one, or they're having to go pay some top-dollar consulting agencies to come in and help them out there. So I guess the feedback I'm really looking for here, Antonio, is this is, again, the site's about 60% complete right now. Needs about another – I need to collaborate with my designer to really polish off there, but just looking for some overall feedback on the concepts and kind of the direction of where it's going.
All right.
Hey, James, what's your email address?
The best one for me right now is, I'll put it on the chat here.
Well, I'm an advisory board member of two nonprofits, so I'm going to shoot them your way if that's cool.
Oh, of course, I really appreciate that.
Oops.
All right, so really quick. Have you read the book, Don't Make Me Think?
I have not.
So it's well worth getting. Get it from your library. Buy it used for a penny. Get it delivered for $3 or whatever it takes. You don't have to go with the newest version. It's the new. I've got this version right here. But the key immediately what I'm thinking is there's a lot of thinking that you're requiring me to do here. Like the image is so generic. Like, we want to have a picture maybe of you, of you getting your main points across in this image. Don't waste this image. And that's a really big image. Probably get rid of almost one third, if not half, of these things up here. You've got home. You've got start here. I think you could probably get rid of one of those. The about probably should be over here where we expect it to be. You know, probably start here, the Academy Pass. Free training or if the free training, is that the same thing as the Academy Pass or is it?
It is not.
So I would look, find a way to consolidate some of this stuff and think about the paths that you want to send somebody. You're giving me way, there's way too many things. You're telling me to join now, but I'm kind of stuck here because I don't know what the Academy Pass is, but I also like the idea of free. But I would expect start here to be here, and home, I don't even know if you need that if you make it so your logo always takes you back home. And then blog, you know, I would think you would just find a way to, like, that one right there, speaking, you could have that down at the bottom, coaching and consulting. That's just, you know, that could possibly be down at the bottom. Or you could, you know, have it so that there are drop downs. Basically, start here, the Academy Pass, and other services or something. And then you only give me three options. But you make it a lot. The image doesn't give me any clue. These are very, I would really try to get away from generic. Everyone knows when they see generic, just generic images.
Definitely a placeholder.
Okay. So that would be, I mean, this is the most, this stuff up here, I always think social media, honestly, should be at the bottom. So a lot of people say it should be up at the top. But I don't think that, unless you want them to immediately go check out your social media, which I assume is going to be weak until you start to get more traffic to it. I tell you, until you get 1,000 Facebook fans, you probably don't want to be – or until you have a really active community there, you don't want to be sending people to it. So maybe just lose this bar. And your logo itself is relatively small. How does this look on a mobile device?
It looks okay. And again, logo is actually currently being designed. So again, placeholder there.
Okay.
The logo would be much more cooler than that.
I would just think, again, that the key is don't make me think. So the best nonprofit marketing tips, that's a mouthful. And I mean, really break it down to, you said that what separates you is that $10,000, right? Or that what you guys help, what is it specifically you help a company do?
Correct. So in general, I can offer all kinds of digital marketing services to help you grow your nonprofit. But what I'm lasering in on is Google gives nonprofits $10,000 a month.
How many? How many nonprofits?
How many are currently on it?
How many currently a month get this $10,000?
There's no way I actually know that number. How many? So there's 1.7 million nonprofits, and of that, how many are aware of that grant? I couldn't tell you that number, but just based off being in this industry the last 4 or 5 years, it's very minimal. People may have loosely heard about it, but they know nothing about it or nothing about it.
So they may have heard about it maybe at a conference. You say it's 10 a month?
That are signing up.
That are getting it.
Maybe even more. They're at least applying for it because it's very easy to apply and get approved. Very easy. You can get approved in 2 days for that, for the grant.
I'm just wondering how big your market is, James, because if you don't have a big enough market, you may be choosing the wrong mountain to climb on.
Mm-hmm. So the question again is how many nonprofits are applying for the grant, or basically aware of the grant and going after the grant? I think the only people that would know that would be Google.
I don't know. Do some research out there and see. I mean, there's probably something, if they give you 10,000, there's probably people that are talking about it, people that are praising Google. You could put together a Google alert. And I mean, I'm sure if I was a nonprofit and I got it, I would thank Google on my Facebook page, right? Or I would.
Yes, definitely. And you just reminded me, there is one course that has been created on Udemy that teaches people how to use this grant, and I think it's had about 50 sales. So I don't know if that kind of maybe helps.
50 sales over how many days? Over how many years?
You know, and I haven't checked it in a while. I'm going to have to
That's probably going to be some of your best information out there. And maybe even reach out to the owner or whoever created that. Maybe they'll give you some information. Maybe they won't. But I'm just worried that you're going after a very, very tiny market. And even if you hit – hit the lottery and you get 100% – of people to sign up, are we talking a business with the ceiling of $100,000? I mean, that would be an issue, because no matter how hard you work, if you're trying to climb up the wrong mountain here, doesn't matter how hard you climb, you're never going to be able to go past a certain height, even when you get to the top of that mountain.
Yeah, no, I really hear what you're saying. I guess my perspective, is, having been in the trenches with these type of clients, and through my first company, we were able to actually produce like pretty cool numbers for certain clients with their online fundraising. So it's the potential that I saw in it, and I believe it's more, I looked at it as like a blue ocean, meaning because there isn't anybody teaching nonprofits and their staff how to maybe just do the basics of, you know, running a PPC campaign, I just always positioned in my head like, wow, if somebody's going to come to you and say, hey, come to your business and say, hey, you're doing some social good, here's $10,000 a month to advertise with, I just had always seen it as like a blue ocean, meaning there's nobody. So
maybe you should position yourself as helping them to apply, and you have like a one-time fee for helping them put together the best application and even multiple applications so they can get this.
See, the application is about 5 questions. There's 5 steps, and they can probably complete it in 10 minutes and get approved in 2 days. So that was kind of like, I felt like the entry point to get myself in front of people is create content that just teaches that. Like, hey, $10,000, you'll get approved, you know, in 5 minutes type thing. So that was going to be my whole angle, is to actually teach people how to get applying. And then on the back end, my goal would be for people that loved what I was teaching and could afford my services to help coach them and bring them on monthly to help them scale their accounts. That was kind of my end goal.
So what does Google do to actively reach out to these nonprofits to let them know that, hey, you qualify for this?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Google's really funny. They I think they just do it because they can, and it's like social good. But it's such a blimp on their radar, and it's kind of so new, they don't really do anything with it. They actually don't offer a lot of support.
How many months do they get this $10,000 a month?
It's indefinite. And what's really cool is if you kick ass with it and you hit certain stipulations, they actually bump your grant up to $40,000 a month. So right before I left my old company, we were able to get about 5-6 clients within 1 month of their grant bumped from 10 to 40K.
So imagine if you could get on LinkedIn and send emails to decision makers and nonprofits saying, hey, you got to word it in a way that doesn't sound like super spammy, but hey, did you know that, you know, that your nonprofit is eligible for almost $150,000 in free advertising on Google? You know, it's like, I wrote an ebook on it. Here you go. You know, it's like literally, I mean, you would almost have to get an intro. I mean, it sounds so good to be true. It's got to be a scam, right?
Exactly.
But if you could, maybe it would be something where literally you've got a video, or you've got something that's very non, like people don't have to even give an email address, but you can be the guy that gives them this value. So it's almost like the law of reciprocity. And you show them exactly what to do, how to do it, and why it's going to benefit. And then you've also got a course on how to prioritize the spend of this money, so that you can really get it. And then at some point you can look to monetize. I just don't even know if there's a market here, but. Maybe it would be something where you just become the thought leader in this, and then you're working with nonprofits like this would be one of your specialties, but you don't look to monetize it so much. Instead, you look to monetize helping nonprofits find other ways to creatively, you know, to creatively grow.
Antonio, I got to apologize. I got to run. Hey, Jay, can you shoot me your email so I can connect you with these two nonprofits?
Didn't it go out on a good one? I will do. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, Antonio, I hear you. So you're saying it's almost.
Well, you're having to educate the market here. And I'm just wondering if you could become a thought leader or be the guy that is opening people's eyes. And in a sense, they'll never, like, there's always going to be, like, yeah, it was that video by James, and you quickly showed me how to do this. So there is like a feeling of reciprocity. And if you have other, like, hey, I'm doing this because I own a marketing company that specializes in helping nonprofits get money. So if you help somebody get that initial $10,000, you know, it's like, wow, this guy's stuff really works. I should look at his other offerings. He has, you know, he helps accelerate and make sure that you best use that $10,000. Plus, he has other general consulting for nonprofits to help them, you know, with their reach their marketing goals.
Yeah, I think you hit it dead on. That is my goal, is to kind of become the thought leader, one of the very first to educate on this. And from there, that would be my goal, is for the ones that do have the budgets and can really afford to have someone come on and kind of coach their overall marketing strategy. Because, again, that's kind of what I've been, you know, specializing the last 4 years. That is the goal. And specifically, what I've realized is that, you know, nonprofits are much like startups. They're usually very small, committed teams. Very bootstrapping, small budget. So my goal would be to create a very thorough, easy to use training system for their staff members, because that's what my gut would tell me based off working with them is, you know, the directors are too busy trying to grow their organization and talk with donors and do what they do, but their staff members, they need some help on the fundamentals. So I always saw it as, kind of come out of the gates with that positioning, show them how easy it is to apply and get it. From there, if there's like a series of content that they could see some free training, they're like, wow, this is great. This guy knows what he's talking about. The information product I always saw ahead would be that in-depth training. And then again, from there, for those that could really afford the services, go there.
I mean,
your concern.
What you need is a great case study. Have you helped any business get this $10,000?
Yeah, it's kind of funny and cool, full circle how it works. So the unfortunate part is it's under the umbrella of my first company. But with the how I came into the High Speed Elite community, and when I was talking to Tom Morkes about my one client, it was a veteran-based nonprofit here in San Diego called Wounded Warrior Homes. And we didn't even realize, but in December 2 years ago, we launched their grant, and over the next about 4 months, they made about $40,000 on online donations. What had happened there was their keyword. So they had Wounded Warrior Homes. You know, there's Wounded Warrior Projects. So we were smart, and we kind of targeted some certain keywords, and that's how that had happened. So, yeah, we had a case study. Again, one client, online donations, around $40,000 over 4 or 5 months. I can't use that testimonial, but that's when my eyes really opened up, like, wow, we're just getting kind of started with this thing here.
Yeah, I'm diving into it now. I mean, okay. I would think that if you could reach out and get a few more case studies, all of a sudden you've got something that's newsworthy. Like, what, this guy just helped 5 nonprofits get $10,000 each a month from Google. You know, he shares with you his story or something like that. So there are people, there've got to be podcasts and websites that are dedicated to nonprofits. And
very few. There's 2 thought leaders.
Okay. There's only 2 thought leaders.
I cut you off there.
There's only
2 thought leaders in it. Well, that I've come across, Beth Kantner, and I think I sent you the other one, a lady named Kiwi. But I'm sorry, I got a little headed. And there's probably about 10 authority sites within the nonprofit space that consistently, you know, have good numbers visiting them. So it's a small community, but about 10 to 12 sites there.
Who's the podcaster that covers nonprofits?
Well, to be honest, I haven't even found one podcaster. I'm just thinking overall kind of content and online marketing, some fundamentals.
Let's see what we got.
And the ones I have found, Antonio, they're honestly nothing like you can't compare it to EO Fire, right? But sometimes the subject matter of their content is, they were just like some guys that kind of got on and maybe had a conversation, and it wasn't too much more than that. lot of my research was cool. It came from some of Tom's strategies that he uses for his publisher's empire. So a lot of the research I did was guided by a lot of Tom's strategies early on.
Who is this guy? Do you know him, Tony Marginatelli or Martin?
No, that'd be a new one. Maybe try Beth Kantner, B-E-T-H, K-A-N-T-E-R, I believe, would maybe be like the, in my opinion, the number one thought leader when it comes to just nonprofits and online marketing.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Cool. Great feedback there. Really want to take that into consideration, though, what you're saying. I'm kind of climbing a mountain that might just, you know, not have something on that back end of it there. Really need to consider.
Okay. Does anyone what else do you guys think? I'm sure some of you guys are watching and chomping at the bit. Zach, Bob, what do you think, man?
I just jumped on. Hi, James. I don't know much about you. I'm just going to listen in to the nonprofit. What I think, I mean, just from what I've heard, is I think that you should start a podcast and start interviewing these guys that are already in the nonprofit. Just start talking to them. Just start talking about, like, nonprofit stuff. I mean, if they're not as familiar with nonprofit as you, that will show through, I think, in the podcast. I mean, don't, like, out them or anything like that. But at the same time, they're going to share that with their list. It's, you know, they're going to share that podcast episode with their email list. So you're going to be able to acquire maybe potential customers or at least potential listeners to our future podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't know the direction this conversation was going. Like I said, I just kind of jumped in right at the end here, so I apologize.
That's okay. Now, James, I definitely agree. I mean, become the thought leader in this space. I mean, the one danger with nonprofits, at least in my – I mean, is like you said, that is there a lot of money? Is this something that you would have to go wide, because to be able to make money, you're going to have to get it from lots of little sources, or do some of these nonprofits have a marketing budget that they can afford a consultant for $5,000 or for a retainer of a couple, you know, thousand a month?
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like that. Here's your industry. You got to find that like sweet spot. Cause I'm definitely not spending time with the ones that have nothing. Your big corporations, like your big ones are too big. Nothing I would ever want to deal with. So it's kind of that sweet spot, and you're right. Maybe find out what that number looks like.
Is there a number, like, you know, that they need to have a marketing budget of this size, or?
Yeah, it's – well, I'm just kind of basing it off my experience. And they're definitely out there. I mean, to be honest, right before I left my last company – if I can put it into perspective, but between this service and building websites, a month in revenue, we were getting anywhere from like $12,000 to $17,000, and that was split up between maybe like three or four guys with some expenses there. And that was just here in San Diego. So the answer is yes, it's there. But from an online and marketing perspective and scaling, it's new. I'm trying something new here.
All right. You know, it's definitely something, James, I think you need to latch on to something that you want to do and is going to monetize. That's the hard part with your area.
Yeah.
Hey, Zach, Bob, good to see you, man. Maybe we can get a quick update from you.
Thanks, Antonio.
Yeah, I was actually late because I actually just closed a pretty big deal. You know, like I just got a client. I was talking to him. He's from Dallas. He's doing a travel bag, which, you know, I'm a Kickstarter and crowdfunding world, and travel bags are type of things that kind of sell. And that's kind of one of the space, you know, I told you, I think, a couple weeks ago that this is the kind of projects that I wanted to work on. You know, it's not necessarily tech, but at the same time, it's like a designer product. So I'm really into it, pretty excited about that. Just closed him just like minutes before I jumped on here. And it's probably my biggest sell. I mean, he's going to give me $5,000 up front, plus 20% of the net funds from the crowdfunding campaign. So that's exciting. For me, you know, I ran out of my savings a long time ago, and I have to actually take from business to pay my bills. And so whenever I get a big sale like or big deal like this, it gives me the opportunity to go back and hire another VA or rehired one of the previous existing ones, and it gives my business life, you know, for a little bit longer. So,
let me ask a question. How come you're not paying? How many people are you paying on your staff, like VAs and
I pay a videographer on a case-by-case basis. I had one VA that I paid, but I just had to let them go at the beginning of last month. And then my video show producer left for a job in Florida, so I'm still looking for a new person to edit content, which is why my YouTube videos have pretty much come to a halt currently. And the podcast, I'm struggling to keep up with the podcast because that's what that gentleman did, and I haven't had a chance to hire a new one yet. So right now I'm paying one VA.
Okay. And what other fixed expenses do you pay every single month? I take it you have rent, office, like all the electricity and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, house utilities, the office, I don't have a car payment, so that's good, insurance, and my wife kind of takes care of all the utilities, so I just take care of the house, the mortgage, and the insurance. That's basically my bills every month, and the house payment. Plus, as far as the business bills, I have several different things. I got a Canva account, I got Hootsuite accounts, you know, those just like micro things that add up.
Yeah.
My MailChimp account, that type of stuff. But, I mean, it's not necessarily anything that's outrageous. You know what I mean? It's not anything that's in the thousands or anything like that.
Have you considered taking out setting it up so that you have an automated owner's draw that goes out every week and you treat it just like you would? I mean, so the reason I'm bringing this up is I didn't do this for years, and I just pulled out of the company whenever I needed to. And then I started reading, there's a great book out there, An Entrepreneur's Guide to Finance. You can find it on Amazon. It's a great book. But it's one of those things that we always pay ourselves last, and I think it's a big mistake. My life has just been so much better, and I started paying myself. It was a great month, and I'm like, okay, I'll start paying myself a couple thousand every month. Now it's grown considerably, and I just love it because what's funny is that I always had to maintain my balances at certain levels, and I managed to maintain, like, because that money's just going to my, it's like paying for my business, putting it into my checking, and I kind of treat it the same way I treat the 10 subscription services I pay, my videographer, all of my VAs, and everyone on my team that works for me. But that I like paying Antonio just kind of goes out, and as you start to do better, you can slowly start to increase that, and that way you know that you're getting paid, and that's just like part of your, it's like literally part of your overhead in the same way that you make sure to pay, you know, I don't know, a hosting service, you know, every month. It's like you should pay yourself every month.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could, but I mean, at the same time, I want to grow. You know, I mean, I want the business to grow, and this, I'm a workaholic, I think I picture myself as a workaholic, and
so why would that stop you from growing?
I don't think that stops me from growing, but I mean, I need money to actually, you know, to kind of grow a little bit bigger than what I want to be. I need more people. I need more staff in order. I mean, running a crowdfunding campaign is a full-time job just for one person alone. That's why we utilize VAs to set it up. I don't know. I mean, I think my biggest problem is systems, like systematizing everything for my VAs, because it takes me forever to train a VA. Speaking of which, are you going to send us those things about your VA?
Wait, which specifically did you want the tasks lists or something?
Yeah, the task lists. Yeah, pretty much anything you got on a VA would be helpful. I'm about to hire another one with the closing of this deal to try to take some tasks off, take some of the work off me. But I don't know. The only money I take out is just for the bills. I don't really do fun stuff, I guess.
I found that when I paid myself, I forced myself to cut off things which were not. Have you read the book Essentialism?
No, I haven't.
It's a great book. Really, the audio is awesome. But the point is that most of what we do honestly doesn't matter. Is not like if you had to and you zero down, we're spending a lot of time. So I used to work 12-hour days. That's honestly 14-hour days. Honestly, that's bullshit. Like I would only be working truly focused in on getting stuff done for that 6 hours. The rest of the time, I'm kind of like losing focus. I'm retraining. I'm answering a phone call, which makes me feel good, but because I'm like giving out this free consulting to some up-and-coming entrepreneur. But honestly, in the back of my mind, I know it's not going to become probably anything. and it felt great, but I was robbing time from my family and my kids. And I just want to, you know, really stress on you that you've got to pay yourself first. We hear it all the time from, you know, Dave Ramsey and all these other like finance gurus. But the way they're talking to people that have 9-to-5 jobs. But I found that it also applies to us as entrepreneurs that, I mean, I've hired consultants and I didn't have really a whole lot of money. But when I did get money in, I would go hire a consultant, pay her $5,000 for a month to come in and do all this work. And guess what? That was like my nightmare consultant. I'm not going to use her name, but let's just say I hired her for a month and I got absolutely nothing. She did not finish any of the projects, but she cashed those damn checks. And it was just like, I mean, she was saying great things and she was showing me progress, but she never hit the end result, which was one of them was to build a Udemy course. And it just never got out there. It was like missing all these things. And I just said, I cut my losses, but I reached that point. I'm like, I just paid her $5,000. And you know how much I paid myself that month? Zero. And I'm thinking, you know, as an entrepreneur, we are so damn optimistic that we're going to take that money and put it right back into our business and multiply it. And the problem is we neglect ourselves and we neglect our families by not taking that money. And, you know, my wife she just finally got a new kitchen. She waited 8 years for this kitchen and she's just so happy. Like we actually have a fridge that, you know, that stays shut. You know, we had to have a little lock on the thing. It's a big fridge too versus the small one we had. We had 6 people in the family. But I was always thinking, I'm like, I can't spend $2,000 on a fridge. I could buy Facebook marketing. I'm stealing from my business. But I'm really was taking from my family by not setting it up so I could have a decent, I'm not talking, I don't say you need to pay yourself $200,000 yet. But I am saying, you know, you should be paying yourself more than minimum wage, which a lot of us are. That's what kind of, if you look at it, that's what we're paying ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, and real quick, I'm doing my wife's kitchen right now. This is just want to throw that out there. It's not going to take 8 years.
Not going to take you 8 years? Yeah.
No, but I mean, we do stuff. My wife has a full-time job too, and she has, you know, just the utility bills and things like that. But I don't know. You're right. You're the second person to actually tell me this, like probably this month, that I should probably take more. But
the goal of your
business, wasn't it hard?
It is really hard.
It's like to let go. Like, cause I think the same thing. I think the same thing. If I sit down to watch TV, I'm like, I could be building. I could be doing something right now. You know, I mean, like, I feel like I can't sit there and watch TV without like having a laptop on my lap or something. At least be looking at it. And I agree with you too about the work too, because I catch myself in that same situation where like throughout the day I just get caught up in these meetings that at the same time it's like this is worthless. You know, I'm sitting there even like thinking it in my mind while I'm in the middle of a meeting.
And then you just need to get up and leave, or you know, it's like. And I've done that with people on the phone because, I mean, Zach Bob, the question I always and I have a, is the time I'm worth spending on this project worth the time I could be spending with my family? And, you know, it's you see enough people die. And I just had my friend Jay the other day. I mean, the guy was, I mean, he was supposed to be here for 2 months and I was going to fly down to Austin. I was mulling getting a ticket. I had just seen him 6 months before he got colon cancer. He's 2 years younger than me. And as I was like setting up, you know, I was about to buy the ticket probably the next day. I'd already told my friend I was going to stay with him. He's dead 2 days after his youngest son is born. And, you know, I mean, I love this game of entrepreneurship, but, you know, I really, the reason I do this, the big why, is I want to set my family up so that they are financially secure because I know all the benefits that that gives for their life, education, opportunities, all that other stuff. And, you know, if I'm not putting that money towards those goals now, what magic point is my company going to be? Because it's going to happen that you're going to be making $100,000 a month and you're going to be, I got to throw it all back in because we got to grow. Someone's going to catch us. But if you're not taking out that, you know, that a little bit for yourself so that, you know, you can reap those benefits and give yourself that leeway. Do you know Personal Capital?
No.
It's a really good app. I've got it on my phone. The reason I love Personal Capital is it allows me to gamify. Like I love, So I follow Ramit Sethi's stuff about I have about 20 checking accounts. I'm sorry, savings accounts within one checking account within one bank. And what happens is I pay my main checking account, and every single month money is funneled out to my 20 savings accounts. And all those savings accounts are for, I mean, there's the usual suspects, four kids. So each of them have their own that money is put away for them. But then I've also got like home repairs. I'm really proud. I've got a very good sized emergency fund now. But all those things kind of give me that peace of mind that, yeah, if my business, I mean, if the FTC shut me down, I'm like, at least I have my personal, like, we're going to be okay for 6 months making no money. I mean, that would be, and then we could even go a year if I really cut things tight. But that's what I'm like, it gets me super excited. But I use that app to gamify it for me, because I see those checks go in and then immediately get fed out. So I never have like a fat checking account. I'm always hungry because I'm always like, damn, I got to make more. But but what I don't see, or I kind of see it, but I like, we're saving, we want to buy a house cash. And I mean, no one does that, but I want to do that. And I want to go, you know, it's like things like that. It gets me kind of motivated. I mean, it sounds total materialistic, but I get excited about seeing all those like accounts grow and being able to send more to that checking account, and then being able to adjust those and even send more to each of those like little savings accounts. Even, you know, some of them are crazy, like, you know, well, not crazy, vacation, charity, what other ones, Ukraine trip. So we have all this money going in there. And then when I need the money, it's like, oh, I just pull it right out of that account, and it's already been kind of allotted for.
Yeah. I mean, I have that too. I mean, we're saving up for – we're going to Vegas here in July. So, I mean, you know, we're saving up for a trip to Vegas. I just took my son camping this previous weekend.
Cool.
I mean, I don't think I neglect my family. I do know that I need to spend more time with them. I agree with that. I know I need to. But, I mean, I feel like I'm in a young business stage right now, and then it's just that I want to get it off the ground, and I'm sure I'm never going to be satisfied with where it's at, like you just said. I mean, you make $100,000 a month, you're like, I want to make $1 million a month.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. It goes up, you know? Like you want to make more. But I haven't made $100,000 a month. You know, I haven't made $50,000 a month. I mean, the best I've done is probably this, like the beginning of this year has been a great start for me. It really has.
Yeah.
I've already like done what I did in like 4 or 5 months last year, and this one just really puts it over the top. But I don't know. I mean, I think last year we barely scraped by, you know, like we literally barely scraped by. We probably could have applied for, like welfare or something at some point last year. But I don't want to be poor. You know what I mean? I don't want to be. And that's why I do it. And that's why I keep putting money back into the business, is because I want to grow.
I think that. So, I mean, all the research, I mean, as entrepreneurs, we are overly optimistic with the money.
I want to get the stage.
What's that?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Now, I'm just going to say, got to be careful of that thing that we are overly optimistic with the money that we put back into our business, thinking we're going to get that return. But, you know, if you kind of treat paying yourself like paying the bill, like paying a bill, then you find other ways. You cut off things because you have to. You cut off things which are not important, and you start focusing, okay, well, I've got to close some sales, so I'm sorry, I can't do that interview, which, yeah, I know I'd scheduled, but honestly, I've got to close some sales. Sorry. Like, it's just, you go off and you do what's really important.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, grab that book, Essentialism. Really good. There's another one, Deep Work. I think I've talked about it before. Cal Newport.
I got that on my list.
Yep. It's a great book. So those two are going to be great. And that's it. Well, let's see who else is out there. It looks like we scared everyone off talking about.
What was the name of that?
Michelle, I said Deep Work and Essentialism by, I think, Greg McGowan or something like that. Both of them are great books.
I'm reading Essentialism right now.
What do you think?
I love it. Oh, my gosh. It is what I do with a wardrobe, because I really believe in
he talks,
you know,
about clothing. Did you catch that?
Yes, I did. I heard it today.
Yep,
I love it.
And so that's a great one. And all right, so let's see what else. Greg was a keynote at Icon last year. Dave is saying, and Essentialism, what deep work. Yep, that one. I'm actually in that book. I thought it was pretty cool. He does a great interview with Brett McKay over at The Art of Manliness. on deep work, but he got some cool stuff. I'm reading it now. All right, guys, that's it. Good. It's good to hear from everyone. Good to check in. Let me see. Was there anyone we missed? Joe the Machine still out there. Mike, good to see you. Jay Bear, I know you're going to become a thought leader and kick ass. Dave, you know, didn't see too much of you. You disappeared. You had a kind of a spotty connection. Dave, you still out there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey, man, anything that you want to tell or update us with, or how are things going for you?
No, things are going a little bit better. Like I said, I've got a few clients that I've got up on the block to try and get some more money. I do have a few more speaking opportunities and engagements coming up in April. One of the things I found out is that nobody needs a speaker next week. So I put the offer out there for a few smaller companies and stuff around to you know, just let me come in and take a look at their company culture and things like that.
Yeah.
But as far as the consulting goes, like I said, I've got the two steady clients, and I've got two that are up on the block to try and leverage a few more clients out of those.
So with you're saying that no one needs a speaker next week, is that something you were trying to close something really fast?
Well, it's a thing where for anybody that needs, you know, that needs any kind of speakers to come in or any kind of consulting or things like that, nobody needs it next week. It's always like something they do once a quarter, or they do like 2 weeks ago I happened to have two speaking events in the same week, but those were things that I set up the same week that I left my job, like a month before.
Yeah.
So there's always, it seems like there's just always a delay on some of that stuff. So I'm still learning that, but as far as the clients that I'm trying to get right now are sales and marketing consulting clients. So just staying steady on the grind with that. I'm out meeting with people and things like that. So
all right. Well, good. Yeah. Remember, it's always – so I'll share with you guys as we end this up a little bit of motivation. This was the first StyleCon that I had. Actually, we got more people to show up when we opened up the bar for free beer, but I think some of them were just there, and we were in the back room of this little brewery, and some of the guys that came out. And then the second year we did it, this is the group we had come out to Atlanta. A lot of them had already left, but you can see Eric, a beard brand right here. He's been on Shark Tank. And you've got, let me see, Ashley. There weren't too many women. We need to get more women out to this. There's old Aaron. There's me right there with Michael Glucker and Ryan Masters, who you guys have met before, Raphael Schneider. And then this was this last year. As you guys can see, grew quite a bit. And but what a lot of people don't see is that I actually emailed and closed the sale on probably half of these people. Because I always got a lot of people that emailed me like saying, oh, I don't really know if it's, you know, something I should come out to, or I'm not sure if it's right for me. And you know, whenever you're building something great, it is hard work. But what's funny is you start to get momentum, and the crazy thing, it starts to grow. And you get, what was the coolest part about this live event is seeing people come together on their own and have their own events and do things outside of what I was doing. And I just loved it. So guys, know that anything worth doing is a lot of hard work. You guys are kicking ass, continue to kick butt. And that's it. I'll see you guys. Really quick, if you would like, I'm thinking we need to bring on a guest speaker here soon. So my buddy Aaron Marino, he's going to be on Shark Tank again here on May 20th. It's his second time being on Shark Tank, and I can get him to come in if you guys would like. He can talk about what it's like, how to basically promote yourself like no other. This guy, like I say, he's been on Shark Tank twice. He's on the season finale, which is a pretty damn big deal. And he's also been on – he's been on all these reality shows. And
what's he selling?
He had his Pete and Pedro hair product, but let's just say that the Sharks were interested in a lot more than Pete and Pedro. That they were very receptive, but he was very smart in a sense, what he was able to get them to do. And at the end of the day, he sells himself. He's all about, I mean, he's built up $1 million+ company in a very short amount of time because he's very, he focuses on what's important. I can tell you that Aaron, I mean, I love the guy, but he is ruthless. If you're not going to pay him money, he's not going to promote you. I mean, just like, it's be very clear. But his reasoning for doing that is because he experienced failure with his first businesses because he tried to, he focused on the wrong things. And I think he's always said, you know, I've got to focus in on the business. I mean, he does great. He does great work for people, but he does not, he's very clear about what his price points are. He charges at least $10,000 for a video. My videos, I'll charge $5,000 for, but he charges, if you're going to be a sponsor in one of his videos, $10,000. And that's why he's able to, easily build $1 million business. And that's always, his hair product does about $500,000 a year. And it does subscription and things like that. But I'll talk to him. He's a good friend of mine. If you guys are interested, let me know. And maybe, or if you've got somebody else that you want to bring on. Mark Cuban, I'm not going to be able to probably get him on. I know somebody requested that one. But that's it, everybody. Let me know. Otherwise, you guys have a great week, and I'll talk to you later.
Have a great week, man.
All right. Take care, everybody. Bye.